Canto 4, Chapter 8. Dhruva leaves home for the forest. Maitreya said, none of those headed by Sanaka, the Kumaras, nor the other sons of Brahma, Narada, Ribhu, Hamsa, Aruni, and Yati, lived a householder's life, being married. They were celibates. O slayer of enemies, Marisha, the wife and sister of another son of Brahma called Irreligion or Adharma, produced the two children, Damba and Maya, but they were taken by a demon ruling the southwest called Niriti, who had no children. From those two, Loba and Nikrita were born, O great soul, and from the both of them there were Krodha and Himsa. From these two, irreligiously being bound in incest, Kali and a sister called Durukti were born. O best of the truthful, bound to Durukti, Kali produced Baya and Mrityu, and of those two combined, Yatana and Niraya took birth. I thus explain to you, in short, the cause of the devastation of landing in hell because of irreligion. Anyone who hears this description three times, O pure one, will lead a pious life and see the contamination of his mind being washed away. I shall now describe the dynasty famous for its virtuous activities, O best of the Kurus, that evolved from the Manu called Swayambhuva, who was a part of a plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. Uttanapada and Priyavrata, the two sons of Queen Satarupa and her husband, were there as parts of Brahma's plenary expansion of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva for the protection and maintenance of the world. Of the two wives of Uttanapada, Suniti and Suruchi, Suruchi was more dear to the husband than the other one, who had a son called Dhruva. When the king one day was petting the son of Suruchi named Uttama, whom he had placed on his lap, he turned away Dhruva, who also tried to get on his lap. Queen Suruchi, who was very proud of the king's attentions, enviously spoke to Dhruva, the child of the co-wife that tried to get on his lap, in such a way that the king could hear it. My dear child, you do not deserve to seat yourself where the king sits, because, even though you were born as a son of the king, you were not born from my womb. O child, you do not understand that, because you are not my own, but were born from the womb of another woman, the thing you desire is out of your reach. You can seat yourself on the throne of the king if you want, but only if you by means of penance have satisfied the original person of God, and thus by his mercy have secured a place for yourself in my womb. Maitreya said, pierced by the harsh words of his stepmother, he out of anger began to breathe as heavily as a snake struck by a stick, and with his father silently looking on, he began to weep and ran away to his mother. Having heard from the others what had happened, Suniti lifted her panting son, whose lips were trembling, on her lap, feeling very sorry over what was said by the co-wife. Losing her self-control, she cried with a fire of grief that burned like dry leaves, and, upon remembering the things said by the other wife, she spoke through the haze of tears that fell from her lotus-like face. Not knowing how to curb the danger, the lady breathed heavily and said to her son, "Do not think evil of others, my dear son, for someone will have to suffer himself from the pain he wishes others." The truth of what Mother Suruchi has told you about having taken birth from the womb of me as the unfortunate one, and that you grew up on the milk from my breast, is that the king feels ashamed. He regrets it to have accepted me for his wife. What your stepmother told you is not false. If you want to sit on the throne just like Uttama, then just engage yourself, without being envious, my dear son, in worshipping the lotus feet of Adakshaja, the Lord of Transcendence. the unborn one, your great-grandfather Brahma, no doubt acquired his supreme position in the universe and his qualifications to create from worshipping the one whom we know by his lotus feet and who can be approached by those who in self-regulation have subdued the mind. Likewise, Manu, your worshipable grandfather, achieved liberation and the heavenly and earthly happiness that is so difficult to achieve by other means, because he, in worship, executing sacrifices, was of an unflinching devotion and of great charity. Take shelter of him, the kind-hearted caretaker, dear boy, for people who desire liberation follow the path of his lotus feet. Worship the Supreme Personality by fixing your mind upon his image, by thinking of nothing else, and by being faithful to your original sense of duty with him. Looking for someone else, there is no one but the Lord with the lotus eyes who can mitigate your sorrow. Even the Goddess of Fortune, who is worshipped by others, my dear boy, is always looking for him with a lotus flower in her hand. Maitreya said, thus having heard the purposeful words of the mother, he, mindfully keeping himself under control, left his father's house. Narada, who came to hear about it and understood his intentions, was surprised and, with the hand that could expel all sin touching his head, he exclaimed, O that might of the rulers, unable to tolerate any infringement on their prestige, he here, being only a child, took to heart the unpalatable words of his stepmother. Narada then said, Why is it that you, a child normally fond of sports and games, presently feel insulted for not being respected? Even though you do not see it differently, what else but being illusioned would the reason be that people are dissatisfied in this world wherein one, because of one's karma, is separated from each other? Be therefore satisfied in turning away from illusion, my dear one. Whatever it is that fate has in store for a person is by someone intelligent recognized as a path leading to the Supreme. But the yoga your mother told you to do for elevating yourself to his mercy is, in my opinion, hard to perform for a person like you. Even to sages for many births on the path of detachment, it may happen that they never come to understand what they are looking for in the absorption of their strict yoga practice. Therefore, give up your insistence. It takes you nowhere. Save it for the future. You will find ample opportunity then. Any embodied soul, having peace with whatever happiness or distress provided by destiny, can reach beyond the darkness. With something or someone better, one should be pleased. With something or someone of a lesser quality, one should be compassionate, and with something or someone equal, one should be friendly. Thus, fostering no desires, one is never affected by tribulations. Dhruva said, This balance of mind you talk about, O Lordship, is a quality of people merciful with those who, with their happiness and distress, have lost track of the soul. But for persons like us, it is very difficult to see it the way you said it. Because I was born a ruler, I am not that tolerant. Pierced by the harsh words of Mother Suruchi, I cannot be as merciful as you. Please tell me an honest way to pursue my desire for a superior position in the three worlds, O Brahmin. How can I reach a position not even attained by others like my father, grandfather and forefathers? You, as a worthy descendant of Lord Brahma, playing the Veena, just like the sun travel around the world for the sake of its welfare. Maitreya said, Narada was very pleased to hear what Dhruva said, whereupon he compassionately replied to give the boy good advice. Narada told him. The path mentioned by your mother of fully absorbing yourself in rendering service to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva constitutes the highest perfection in life. For the one who seeks the supreme benefit of the self by what is known as Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, the worship of the Lord's lotus feet constitutes the only motive. For that purpose, my dear boy, go with my blessing to the bank of the Yamuna and be purified by the sacredness of the Madhuvana forest where the Lord is always present. When you have taken a bath in that river, the Kalindi, which correctly performed 3 times a day is a most auspicious thing to do, you should sit down on a sitting place you have prepared. By means of the 3 types of breath control, you must, step by step, giving up the impurities of your mind and controlling your life, breath and senses, meditate on the Supreme Spiritual Master with an undisturbed mind. Always willing to be of mercy, he, with his pleasing mouth and typical look, his straight nose, arched eyebrows and intelligent forehead, is the beauty of the demigods. Youthful, attractive in all his limbs and with lips and eyes as reddish as a rising sun, he is the shelter of the surrendered souls, the strength of man, and an ocean of mercy. Marked with the Srivatsa, and of a deeply bluish-gray color, he is the original personality garlanded with flowers, showing the conch shell, the disc, the club, and lotus flower in his 4 hands. The garments of yellow silk he wears are complemented by a helmet, pearl earrings, a necklace, bracelets, and the Kaustubha jewel. Pleasing both the eye and the mind, he has small bells of gold around his waist and his ankles, and is of a superior calm, peace and serenity. Standing on the will of the lotus of their hearts, he occupies the minds of those who worship his lotus feet by the light of his glittering nails. This way you regularly must envision the smiling of the Lord who is so affectionate with the devotees, and thus, fully attentive, let your mind meditate on the greatest of all benedictors. When you thus meditate on the very auspicious form of the Supreme Lord, your mind, being transcendentally enriched, very soon will be freed from all material contamination and never wander off. Please hear from me the most confidential mantra, O Prince, whereupon meditating a person in 7 days can see what is moving in the ether. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. My respects for the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. With this mantra, called the Dvadashakshara Mantra, a wise person conversant with the divisions of time and place should exercise respect for the physical appearance of the Lord as should with the different paraphernalia. You should be of worship with the help of pure water, garlands of forest flowers, roots, different fruits and vegetables, fresh grass, buds, bark, and by offering tulsi leaves that are very dear to the Lord, your Master. You can, being alone in the forest, begin with procuring and worshipping a deity made of physical elements like earth and water, and therewith, as a sage, be of full self-control in peace, checking your speech, and eat frugally whatever the forest offers. Meditate therewith on the inconceivable activities that by the Supreme Lord of Wisdom were performed in the form of an avatara to exercise his supreme will and potencies. In service of the Supreme Lord, you should respect him in your heart with the mantras that embody him. Through that, the prescribed way with the devotional service of the teachers of the past. When the Supreme Lord thus, by your engagement of being of service with your body, mind and words, is worshipped according to the regulative principles of bhakti, he will strengthen the devotion of you as a sincerely and seriously engaged devotee. He will award you with that what you, as a conditioned soul, desire for your spiritual life and everything that belongs to it. Free from attachment to sensual matters, making serious work of uniting in devotion unto him, one must always, filled with love, directly be of worship for the sake of one's own liberation and the liberation of others. Thus being addressed by Narada, the son of the king circumambulated him, offering his obeisances, and went to the Madhuvana forest that, imprinted by the lotus feet of the Lord, was the right place to be. After Dhruva had entered the forest for penance, the sage thought it wise to pay the king a visit in his palace. Respectfully being welcomed, he, seated there comfortably, spoke to him. Narada said, "Dear king, your face looks withered. What are you thinking so deeply about? Have you lost your way with the gratification of your senses, the religion, or the economy?" The king replied, "O Brahmin, my son, my sweet boy, who is only 5 years old and actually is a great personality and devotee, I have, being too attached to my wife and too hard-hearted, banished from here together with his mother. I worry whether the helpless boy, whose face is like a lotus, without being protected by anyone in the forest, O Brahmin, is starving or being tired, having laid down, has been devoured by wolves. Alas, how cruel I was being conquered by a woman. Just imagine how utterly hard-hearted I was denying him all affection when he, out of love, tried to climb on my lap." Narada said, Do not be aggrieved about your son. He is well protected by the Lord, O Master of Man. As yet, you have no idea of his glory that will spread all over the world. The boy is a master. After performing what is impossible for even the greatest personalities around, he, in favor of your reputation, will come straight back to you, dear king." Maitreya Muni said, "The king, having heard what Narada told him, began to think about his son and neglected his opulent kingdom. Dhruva, meanwhile, after taking a bath and fasting that night, worshipped the original personality with perfect attention, the way Narada had advised it. The first month worshipping the Lord, he, after every third night, to the bare necessity of preserving his body, only ate fruits and berries in the morning. The next month, the boy continued with his respect for the Almighty Lord by eating every sixth day his food consisting of dried grasses and leaves. He, fully being absorbed in his respect for the Lord of Wisdom, Uttama Shloka, passed the third month with drinking water only every ninth day. Likewise continuing the fourth month, he, by controlling his breath while meditating in worship of the Lord, only ate air every twelfth day. By the fifth month, in full control of his breath, the son of the king, meditating upon the Creator, motionless stood on one leg like a column. With his mind fully controlled, concentrating, he meditated with no other thought than the form of the Supreme Lord, of him, the resting place for the senses and their objects in his heart. When he kept his mind focused on the foundation, the cosmic intelligence of the reality, the Lord and Master of the Primal Eater and the Person, the Supreme Spirit, the three worlds, began to tremble. While standing on his one leg, the child of the king, with the one half of his body pressed down the earth with his big toe bent, like the king of the elephant does when he, like a boat, balances left and right with every step. Because he, in the full of his meditation on the complete of the universal form, had stopped his breathing and had closed all the gates of his body, he thus, by confining the life air, suffocated all the worlds. For that reason, soon the great souls from all places sought their refuge with the Lord. The godly souls said, "We cannot understand this, O Supreme Lord. The flow of the universal breath is obstructed. Therefore, O reservoir of goodness so kind to the needy, we all approach you for shelter in order to be saved from this calamity. The Supreme Lord replied, Fear not, this choking of your life air happens on account of the son of King Uttanapada, who is fully absorbed in thoughts of me. I will ask the boy, so strong in his determination of penance, to stop with this. Please return to your homes.